Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verses 6 through 18. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you'll join me reading out loud on the even verses, I'll read by myself on the odd verses, as we read verses 6 through 18 in Malachi chapter 3. Let's begin together in verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and that prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall be to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a light that the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Well, here in Malachi chapter 3, you know, this passage of scripture is often used in a stewardship sense in people giving their tithes and offerings, which is not an incorrect application of this particular passage of scripture. But if you look at what we read today, and I do apologize for missing a few words there and stumbling, making you stumble as we read. I was having a hard time following my finger. go. But you all did well. I was the one that was struggling. So, but did you notice what he was saying? The sense of it is that they weren't on the same page with God. It wasn't just about money. It wasn't just about what they were giving. They were not in line with what God wanted for them to be. He said, you ask where have we departed, and you ask where have we robbed you. He's like, y'all don't get it. You need to return unto me. So if they need to return unto God, what does that mean? That means they departed. They left. You know, in the book of Revelation, God talks to the people at Ephesus. And what does he tell them? You have left your first love. Folks, we're the ones that depart. We're the ones that leave. Hey, when we get saved, when we become believers in Christ and we trust Christ as our Savior, we are given everything we can possibly need to be in fellowship with God. We are made a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are given the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, that indwells the believer and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hey, we're given a new nature. We're dead to those trespasses and sins. We're dead to the old man. Well, we don't have to go back. We have been freed from that bondage. You know the illustration about Sarah and Hagar, right? In Hebrews, it talks about being We're not in bondage. Why do you want to go back to that bondage? We shouldn't want to. You understand that we're given all these things. We don't have to sin anymore. We're free from that. Now, I'm not going to preach to you some weird doctrine like sinless perfection, because that's not true. But all I want to say to you is that we can overcome it. Okay? We don't have to sin anymore. Is that okay with you? But we choose to. It's a choice. Hey, did God make Abraham and his seed his people? Yeah. Was that a covenant that God made with him? Absolutely. And does God keep his promises? Yeah, he does. Does he keep his covenants? Yes, he does. All right? So, who was the one over the course of the Old Testament that kept leaving? Yeah. Hey, did they have some spiritual development? Oh, yeah. There were wonderful times in the history of the Israelite people. There were times where under certain kings, they flourished, they did well. Under certain judges, they did well. Under certain individuals and leaders, they did well. And then there were times where they did not do so well. So was there spiritual development in their lives? Yes, there was. Was there spiritual decline in their lives? Yes, there was. Does God promise us life on the mountaintop all the days of our lives? No, he doesn't. Do you know why? Because he knows that we are but flesh. Hey, we have to live with this thing, whether you like it or not. If you choose not to live with it, I guess the alternative is heaven. Okay? But you understand, that's not for us to decide, is it? No, it's for God to decide. He knows our frame. He knows our boundaries. He knows when we were born. He knows when we're going to pass on to this next, to the next life. God knows the boundaries of our life. We don't. So as long as we're here sucking air and dealing with this flesh, we have a fight on our hands. And today's message is not one of oh, woe is us and just molly grubbing around and feeling bad about ourselves. I want to just warn you. And to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. And to encourage you to keep on keeping on and not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We need to fight. We need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And just like last week, we talked about Jesus increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. We need to beware and be careful of decreasing in those things. Decreasing. Your life doesn't need to be like this. We need to kind of maximize those mountaintops and minimize the valleys. I'm telling you, you're not going to go like this. Salvation. Okay. That's not a reality, is it? But you know what we can do? We can go. Instead of going like this. Okay. That's what we need to avoid. God wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live a successful life, a prosperous life, not in the world's eyes necessarily, but in his eyes. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. So just similarly to last week, we talked about spiritual development. First of all, we talked about wisdom and stature. Wisdom and stature. So in spiritual decline, we need to beware of foolishness and sin. Foolishness and sin. In James chapter 1, the Bible tells us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to draw us away. He tries to get us to go away from God. He tries to get us to go back to the world. Back to the old life. Yeah. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, right? Were they all excited and happy? Yeah, the Egyptians are showering them with gifts, right? And they're going out and they're going there and they get to the Red Sea and they're camped out and they're still encouraged, right? But then what happens? Yeah, they see this dust storm. Wait, that's not a dust storm. That's Pharaoh and his chariots. They're coming out. Why'd you bring us out here to die? Right? They're yelling at Moses, complaining to God. What happens? God sets up the pillar of fire, stops Pharaoh, tells Moses, put your hand out. They get to the other side. Pharaoh's armies are consumed. And then, guess what? They're all happy about it now again, right? And then what happens? They go on a little further and all of a sudden there's no water. There's no food. Oh, we wish we were back in Egypt. What? You wish you were back in bondage? You wish you were back in slavery? You're free. God has delivered you. He sent 10 wacky, wonderful, weird, supernatural things upon Egypt. He can't feed you and he can't give you water? I mean, you just watched him stall Pharaoh's army with a pillar of fire. And you just watched him part the Red Sea and you walked across on dry ground. And he can't give you drink and he can't give you sustenance? Really? Hey, we enter into the Christian life. We're saved from our trespasses and sin. And it's such a relief and it's such a joy. And then all of a sudden, things get a little tough and we run back to the world. Why? It says in the New Testament, Paul asks some of the churches, he says, why are you so soon departed from the faith? What happened? Why'd you give up so easily? Well, why'd you turn your back on this truth and this miracle and new life in Christ that you've found? On this wisdom of God. Why'd you go back to it? In 1 John chapter 2, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, we have an adversary, the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to lure you back to the things of the old nature. Just read through book of Romans. In chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, Paul warns about this fight between the carnal man, the natural man, and the spiritual man. Our new nature in Christ. And there's a tug of war going on with your life and God's tugging on your heart and the Holy Spirit, they're trying to get you to develop spiritually. And the devil's trying to get you to decline spiritually. He's looking for a foothold in your life. Doesn't the Bible tell us neither give place to the devil? Don't give him a foothold. How many of you have ever played tug of war? Yeah. What's important about tug of war? Footholds. Traction, right? Gaining an advantage. And boy, if you can lean into something and get an anchor going, you're doing pretty good. I had the privilege, Brother Camp was talking about, you may remember this because those, you said 2005? Okay, so I came after him. My first year at camp up in Neshoba, Oklahoma, where he was talking about, was 2006, summer of 2006. And I remember that summer, some folks from this church, good folks from this church were there. And one of those, Brother Minter, he and I teamed up against, some of you may remember, Brother Atha. Okay? And Brother Atha was a mountain of a man. All right? And I'm not a mountain of a man, but it was me and Brother Minter against Brother Atha and another individual. I don't remember who it was exactly, but they were bigger than me. But we won. Because you all know Brother Minter. He's a great anchor. And because I had that anchor behind me, holding the rope, I got to go ahead and get some aggression in him and get some pulling done. It was wonderful, and we won. You know, we can win. The devil's a strong adversary. But if you don't give him a foothold, he can have no traction in your life. We've got to be careful about spiritual decline. Don't go back to the world. Don't be foolish and turn your back on the things of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it gives a sad tale and record of a man's life. Three times this man Demas is mentioned in the Word of God. Twice on a positive note and once on a negative note. Guess what everybody remembers? The negative. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." He gave up. He left. He gave in to the world. He loved this present world. In Proverbs chapter 14, Solomon gives an sundry verses of wisdom about foolish and wise. It says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that is mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." Last week, we learned about spiritual development was growing in wisdom, getting wisdom. And we talked even on Wednesday night about being wise and hearkening to instruction and being wise and refusing it not. When we begin to refuse the things of God and the ways of God, we become fools. We become fools. You say, "Oh, you're just so narrow-minded. God's way is not the only way." Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, we need to follow the ways of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We know that God's ways are perfect. Oh, it's been talked about in our studies of the wonderful Word of God in Psalm 119, how the ways of God are perfect, how the ways of God are right, how the ways of God preserve one from all these things. You know, the way of man is not in himself. When we start to decline spiritually, we've returned to the ways of man. And we've turned from the ways of God. Do not err. Do not go back. Do not turn the wrong way in your life. Beware of spiritual decline. Beware of sin. It brings death. Oh, it is a pleasure for a season, but the end is destruction. Be careful. Do not decline. Do not turn back. We know that we're supposed to, it says in Joshua, that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Don't decline to the right. Don't decline to the left. Don't get off track concerning the Word of God, because it's foolishness. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We have to be careful about spiritual decline. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know what that is? Spiritual development. Spiritual development. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know what that is? Spiritual decline. Spiritual decline. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 17. Psalm 17. You know, this thing about spiritual decline. One thing about the word decline is it's not a sudden movement, is it? It's kind of a gradual descent. Like I told you before, the devil doesn't come out in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and say, "Born the devil, follow me! Ha ha ha!" If he did that, we'd just say, "Get out of here, you joker." I mean, right? I mean, we wouldn't follow the devil like that. But what is he? He's a deceiver. Sometimes he appears as an angel of light. You know, most of the time the devil tries to distract us with quote unquote good things that keep us from following what God wants. And he just kind of sidelines us that way. Look at what it says here in verse 3. It says, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Listen to what David asks here in verse 5. He says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. We have to be careful, don't we, about slipping. You know, it's something that none of us intend to do. We don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to decline spiritually today. I'm going to begin to move away from God today. I mean, who does that? No one. No one does that, right? Nobody says, oh, today, you know, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm a born-again believer in Christ. And, you know, today, God, I'm going to take a little vacation. I'm going to step back a few notches here. None of us intend to do that, do we? None of us determine that we're just going to turn our backs on God and just walk the other way. No, it's a spiritual decline. And then maybe eventually we get so far back that we make that determination. But do you understand that it's not immediate? It's not something that we just say, no, it's decline, slip, 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 and then fall. You see, it's something that happens over time. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Be careful. Why does it say to remove not the ancient landmarks? Why does it say to write them upon thine heart, right? To bind them about thy neck, to have them all around you and teach these things and to remind ourselves. And why does the Holy Spirit of God have to bring all things to our remembrance so that we don't decline spiritually? So we don't give in to sin. So we don't let them slip. We've got to be careful. In Jeremiah chapter 8, God asks some wonderful questions. He says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? God is asking that question. He's like, hey, I've given them everything. I've given them all that they need for spiritual development. Why are they in decline? Why do they keep sliding back? Why do they keep letting these things slip? It's like, I don't understand. They hold fast deceit, and they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Or what have I done? Everyone turned his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. They should have been wise, but they turned out to be fools. We've got to be careful when it comes to foolishness and sin. We've got to be careful not to decline, not to let them slip. We need to pay the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then the Bible talks about Jesus and how he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. So not only do we have to be careful about foolishness and sin, we have to be careful about being in disfavor with God. You say, but God is love. God is long-suffering. God is mercy and grace. And God is truth, and he'll forgive me. Yes. Yes, he will. But does that mean that we take advantage of God? And that does not mean that God is not displeased with your choices. You know, my children do not always please their father. I know your children do always please you, but my children don't always please their father and mother. Does that mean that I don't love them? No, I still love them. And they're still my children. But that doesn't mean I'm always happy with them. It doesn't mean that I'm always in fellowship with them. Oh, I want to be. But sometimes they are not in fellowship with me. And folks, just like that, God loves us. And he's willing to forgive us. But sometimes we are at odds with him. We are in disfavor with him. You know the story in Matthew about the three men that were given talents. One was given five, he earned five other. It was said of him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. One was given two, and he earned other two. And he brought them forward, and he was given the commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And one was given one, and did nothing with it. And he was given a condemnation. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Hey folks, listen. We need to be careful. There are times in our lives where if we are not right with God, He will be displeased with our life. We're to grow in an increase in favor with God, not decrease in favor with God. Hey, we are a new creature in Christ. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to live that way. What? Know ye not? Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hey, living holy, acceptable unto God, that's our reasonable service. We're supposed to be good hosts and hostesses to the God that indwells us, the Holy Spirit of God. We're supposed to live a clean life. We're supposed to give Him a place to live where He can thrive and He cannot be quenched because we're living right and doing right and following what's right. We're supposed to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not supposed to go backwards. We're supposed to go forwards. One of the kids at camp this week, he was talking to some of his friends, and he says, hey, do you know what part of armor is missing from the whole armor of God? And the other kid said, yeah, the back. There's no back. Because we're not supposed to turn back. We're supposed to press forward. We're supposed to keep going forward. We're not supposed to turn tail and run away. We're not supposed to decline. We're supposed to develop and develop and develop and develop. God wants us to abound unto every good work. That's what we're supposed to do. Do you know that in our lives, when we turn from God and His path, when we choose to sin against God, and yes, we're sinning against God, when we choose to sin, that God is not going to be happy about it. Should He be? Anybody think that He should? Well, it's my life. I get to choose. But no. No, it's not your life. It's His life. You've been bought with a price. The blood of His precious Son has paid for your life. Don't be in disfavor with God. Don't decline in favor with God. We know that Jesus said that one who is supposed to follow God and preach the kingdom of God is one that should be like the one who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We need to make sure that when we decide to follow Jesus, that we follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hey, if you decide to put your hand to the plow, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God is to be pleased with our lives, not displeased. We have to be concerned with pleasing God in our lives. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told this is the message, which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Does God want to forgive us? Does God want us to come back to him when we sin and when we begin to decline? Does he want us to? Yes, he does want us back. Just like the prodigal son. He was at home with the father and he decided that he was going to go spend his substance in riotous living. Did the father not receive him back when he came to himself? And he said, hey, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Make me one of thy hired servants. Father said, go get a robe, get a ring, kill the fatted calf. My son has returned. Hey, God wants to be in favor with us. And he wants us to be in favor with him. But we need to increase in favor with God, not decrease. Not turn back to sin. Not turn back to foolishness. God's given us wisdom. He's given us a new life in Christ where we're not under the bondage of sin. And we're to grow in grace. We're to grow in our Christian life, not decline. Well, then just like last week, I told you that as we grow in favor with God, we also grow in favor with man. And when we decline in favor with God, we also decline in favor with man. Remember how the story of Abraham unfolded in the Old Testament. And for sake of time today, I don't have time to go through all of these examples. But listen to this story. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Is what Abraham did, was it right? Was it honest? Was it true? Was it the way that God directed him? No. Did it cause a problem? Yeah. It sure did. And when we do not do what we're supposed to do in being in favor with God, it affects our relationship with others. It matters how we live our lives before God. Did you know that people see what you do? People make determinations about God and about Christianity and about the truth of the Word of God based on your life. And it matters. It matters. Hey, we're supposed to live our lives pleasing to the Lord and growing in favor with God. And when we don't, it affects our relationship with human beings. It does. He says, it says in 1 Peter, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So if we don't live that way, what are they going to do? They're not going to glorify God. They're going to miss salvation because of our life that we're living incorrectly. It will bring us in disfavor with man. Not only with lost man, but with saved man. When a Christian doesn't behave right, what happens? Disfavor with man happens. We get at odds with one another. Remember, look at what it says in James chapter 4. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? When we are not in favor with God, we're not in favor with man. It works that way. When our relationship with him is not right, how can our relationships with others be right? It's impossible. We need to make sure that as God said to the Jews there in Malachi chapter 3, he said, hey, return. Return. Don't stay there. And don't continue to decline. Return unto me and I will receive you. God wants us to come back. If you find yourself slipping, you find yourself falling back into foolishness and sin as a dog returneth to the vomit. We're no longer in bondage to those things. Come back to the Lord. Return to the Lord. His plea in Malachi was not one necessarily of sound and fast judgment, but it was one of return. Return. God wants us to come back to him. Just like the father of the prodigal, he's waiting. Just to see the silhouette of his son coming over that horizon, he's waiting to receive you. He does not want you to stay in spiritual decline. He does not want you to stay in foolishness and sin. He does not want you to stay in disfavor with God and disfavor with man. He wants you to come back. And he wants you to be restored. And he wants you to abound once more and develop once more in him.